What's going on, my friend? This is Alex Pardo. You're listening to episode 220 of the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Yo, what's going on? I hope this message and this podcast finds you doing well wherever you're listening to me. Guys, I got an awesome masterclass jam-packed with actionable content that I think is really, really going to help you, especially if you're marketing direct to sellers. So in about a minute or two, you're going to hear from a gentleman by the name of Phil Green. Him and his brothers are just kicking ass out in San Diego, one of the hottest markets in the country. They just came off a month where they did 21 deals. They have a team of 25 people. And in this particular episode, we get into marketing, what's working for them. We cover three niche lists that are driving a lot of their deals. Not only like what the niche lists are, but Phil details how step-by-step how you go about getting these niche lists, depending on where you are in the country, depending on what your market is. We also talk about how he built his team, his hiring process, what personality tests and assessments they use to ensure that they're putting the right people in the right seats. We cover skip tracing. He drops a couple different tools and resources that I haven't even heard of that they're leveraging out there. So I know you're going to get a lot out of this masterclass. And yeah, having said that, let's jump right into it. Phil, what's going on, my man? How you doing, buddy?
Great, Alex. I'm so excited to be on the show. I've listened to you guys for years, and it's just awesome being here.
Hey man, that is awesome. I'm excited to have you on as well. I know, guys, for those of you listening here, so I connected with Phil about, Phil, what would you say, man? This was going on 3-4 months now that we've been?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, so this was the first day of a mastermind. We're both a part of a Collective Genius. You guys, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that, you know, I've plugged CG a lot. It's had a big impact on my business. And so the first morning we were getting ready to kick off, and I just, you know, you walk into a room and you just randomly sit at a table wherever, and you know, you don't realize that, hey, you could be sitting next to somebody that you're going to build a friendship with, you build a relationship with, you exchange value, information. And I happened to just sit next to Phil. Phil and his two brothers were there. And they're all in business together, by the way, out in San Diego. And, you know, Phil immediately just kind of outgoing person, you know, we struck up a conversation, and then we were in the same group. And, you know, I watched his presentation. He delivered a tremendous amount of value. And at that mastermind, I was like, dude, I got to get you on the podcast because you have a tremendous amount of information. You guys are crushing it out in San Diego. So dude, it's finally it's good to see this come to fruition now and have you on.
Thanks, Alex. I really, really appreciate it. The market out here is crazy, and I know it is across the country, and a lot of people have been asking, you know, what are you guys doing to get deals? And I'm excited to share it today.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad you went there, because that's exactly, guys, what we're going to cover on today's show. You know, Phil and I were talking before I started recording here. There's a lot of investors that struggle with deal flow and with volume, especially those that might be like in a hot market. You know, there's so many investors and wholesalers and wannabe investors that have hit the market, you know, that are coming from a weekend seminar, or they watch an HGTV show and they want to get into flipping, they want to get into wholesaling. And so there's a lot of noise out there, and Phil and his brothers, you know, are master marketers. They're doing really, really well when it comes to, you know, generating leads and acquisition. So, you know, Phil and I were just talking offline, and we're like, let's just dedicate the entire show to what you guys are doing to generate leads and to, you know, convert those leads into contracts. And so, yeah, Phil, man, I don't want to steal your thunder, but why don't we talk about, you know, direct to seller, what you guys are doing from a marketing perspective to generate more leads and close more deals on off market leads.
So what we're doing, well, once again, we're in the San Diego market. And as many of you guys are aware, San Diego is one of the most competitive markets in the country. So we know what we're doing is working in other markets too. So for those of you listening, I'll kind of give you exactly what we're doing and the data we're targeting to get deals. Right now, this last month, I think we ended up with 21 deals. Awesome. It was actually our best month of the year.
Wow.
And the majority of those deals came from off market, just going direct to sellers. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing three or four data sets that we've been extremely successful with. And the first one that I've seen a lot of success with is evictions. I think we got 5 last month off eviction data sets.
Okay. So about 20% of your deals came from evictions last month.
Yep, they did. And it's a tough data set to get. So people are probably thinking, you know, how do you find evictions? And you really just have to go down to the courthouse and find them. It's kind of different. You know, each county, city is a little different. There's no service that gives you them directly that I know of. And I think that's a big reason why we're seeing so much success. You know, you can't order them. If 100 people could order the service, it would probably be a lot more saturated in terms of, you know, mailers and phone calls and everything else.
Yep.
And it would be much tougher to connect with those owners.
Yeah. And you know, I think you touch on something, a very good point, and something I kind of want to piggyback on. The tougher, generally speaking, I think a good rule of thumb is the tougher the list it is to get, probably the better quality data it's going to be. Because like you said, if there was a service that sold the list to like any Joe Schmo out there, you know, it's going to get watered down. There's going to be a ton of people mailing, door knocking, cold calling, et cetera. But when you have to go through a lot of hurdles to get your hands on a list, those are the types of things that most people aren't willing to do.
Exactly. And we're seeing a lot of success with other lists too. Tax liens. Tax liens are fantastic. We're getting at least a couple of months from that.
Okay.
And they're a different kind of foreclosure, but what we've noticed is there's just less competition. They're not getting 100+ mailers a month like your typical notice of default or auction, depending on what you call it, in different areas of the country, foreclosure sale. So they're just getting a lot less attention. They're getting a lot less mailers. And because of that, we're seeing a lot of success going after them.
So how are you guys getting the tax liens?
We actually get them from Agent Pro 247. And that's from Black Knight's data set. We found that they're the most accurate of all the sources on the market that we have here in San Diego.
Interesting. So that's agentpro247.com?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, got it. Very interesting. Actually, I've never heard of that particular service.
It's the best we found, and we tested everything we could possibly find. So I would recommend it. Obviously, every market's different, but out here, it's pretty accurate.
And it's a subscription service, or like you just buy the list one time?
You buy the list one time. So we buy it once a month.
Okay.
Get it updated.
Okay. Very cool. And then just to kind of circle back. So far you've talked about evictions. You're getting 20% of your deals. You're getting some more from tax liens. The evictions, is there a particular, like, can you kind of walk? So somebody's thinking through and, you know, the light bulb goes off. Evictions. I've never targeted that. It's a specialty niche list. What's kind of, again, I know that every county, every courthouse, depending on where you are, is going to be different. But can you kind of walk people like step one, step two, step three, as far as like trying to get their hands on that list?
Yeah, what I would recommend first is to reach out to an eviction attorney in your city or state. Mm-hmm. And I would ask that eviction attorney where they go to file an eviction.
Okay.
And that department would be the best place to start. From there, we sent down our researcher and they kind of, you know, asked the right questions, got directed to the right department, and then found the list. And that's probably the easiest way to go about finding the list.
Yep.
Instead of just going from courthouse to courthouse, which we actually did originally. It took a while to figure it out, but that's kind of part of the game.
Yeah, I know. And it makes sense, Phil, because obviously eviction attorneys, they know exactly where they file this. I mean, they do it all the time. So just shortcut it versus banging your head against the wall and bouncing from place to place. So, which by the way, we've been there, man. There's been certain lists that we try to get our hands on. And, you know, sometimes you just don't think of the shortcut or there is no shortcut and you just have to go kick over a bunch of rocks until you get it.
Yep, very true.
A lot
of these lists, there's just no real way to get them. One being code violations.
Yeah, so is that the third specialty list that you guys really target?
Yeah, we target code violations a lot. They're a little trickier. You actually have to go to each sub-city here. I think we have like 25 of them.
Wow.
So it's a lot of work. I mean, our admins emailing, calling, you know, driving out full-time. Every week trying to get these lists, but these are the kind of lists that you'll see success. You know, when there's 100+ mailers going to the majority of lists here in this market, you've got to find stuff that other people aren't willing to do. And you've got to dig deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Are the code violations, is it a pretty similar process, at least for you guys? Again, I know it's going to vary from state to state, county to county, but you mentioned that you have to go directly to the subsidy. Is it somewhat of a same framework as for the evictions? I mean, you guys go to the county or the courthouse, whatever, and until you find the right person that has access to the list?
You know what? It's actually different out here anyways, but I've heard in different parts of the country, it just kind of differs. Okay. We've got a contact at almost every subsidy now that we actually email, and three or four of them still give us a hard time, but I would say 90% of them shoot the list to us now. It just takes about a month. It's kind of crazy. So you request it and you get it about a month later. They're requesting it a week after we get it each time because they're trying to get it once a month updated.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tricky. It's probably more like we get it every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
With how kind of inefficient the city is, but it's a good list to hit.
Right. And I think, you know, a tip that I want to kind of throw in for people listening in is, always, you know, one of the things that we do is whenever we are going to like the county or the courthouse or something, we're trying to get our hands in a list. We want to connect with someone here in Phil. I don't know if you guys, I'm Cuban. Miami obviously is, you know, a big Hispanic population. So pastelitos are really, really popular here in South Florida, especially in Miami. So we'll buy like, basically it's I don't even know how to say it in English. It's like a Cuban pastry, basically. And we'll show up with a big box of pastelitos to, like, if we're going to the courthouse, and we say, hey, you know, just thinking of you, wanted to bring this by. And dude, people like will gobble it up. I mean, literally and like figuratively, like they love it, you know? So try to go and just be friendly, befriend these people, try to like add value, build a relationship with them. And it may take them seeing you several times and you being persistent in a positive kind of way, not like in a douchey kind of way, obviously. But just be yourself, befriend people. And sometimes, you know, those little extra things, like, you know, taking a box of candy or whatever it might be, you know, some bottles of water, it could go a long way. So that's just something that, you know, we've done that I think has gone a long way.
Yeah, you really nailed it, Alex. Our team shows up with Starbucks coffee and donuts and stuff like that all the time. And they've realized it just goes that little bit more and it makes a huge difference to them.
Yep, exactly. Let me ask you this, man. So once you get your hands on the list, are you guys primarily sending direct mail? Are you cold calling? Are you texting? Like, how are you contacting these people?
So I'm really glad you asked. Direct mail does work, but there's just so much direct mail being sent to everybody in almost every zip code in our market because it's so hyper competitive. We've actually seen more success with calling them directly.
Okay.
And I think the reason being is if you think about it, if you got 100 mailers in the mail that month as a probate or an inheritance or whatever data set you're going after, I mean, who do you call? You don't really know who to call, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If somebody calls you directly and says, hey, I can help you out, relates to you and it makes sense, you're probably going to work with the person that calls you directly and speaks to you.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times they go, you know, I got 100 different pieces of mail this month, but you're the only one who called me. I'm so glad. I've been looking for someone to talk to. I feel really good about talking to you.
And
so that's where we're seeing a lot of success.
You know what's crazy too, on top of what you're saying, is that we'll have sellers that will tell us, you guys are the only ones that picked up the phone. And it blows my mind. So many people spend, I don't know how much money on direct mail and other ways to market to people, but yet they don't pick up their phone, which is crazy.
It really is. We've noticed the single most important thing in this business is you have to talk to these people directly.
Yeah.
So if you're going to spend all that money on direct mail and you're not going to pick up the phone, well, good luck, especially in our market. I mean, you've got to talk to these people. Exactly. We've noticed that the one call they give us, many times, if you don't pick up that call, you actually lose them.
Yeah. No, they're on to the next.
Again.
They're on to the next. I think the analogy is, you know, think of somebody that they have like a clogged toilet and they jump on Google and they look up, you know, their local plumber and they call that plumber and that plumber doesn't pick up. What do you think they're doing? You think they're like waiting around until that person calls them back? No, they're going to the next plumber in Google and the next one until somebody picks up the call and solves their problem. So I think it's the same. I mean, it's a simplified version, but it's the same thing. So the days of sending these people directly to voicemail, my opinion, it sounds like it's yours too, Phil. I mean, you're wasting your money. I mean, you might still do some deals, but you're leaving a lot of money on the table if you're not taking those calls live.
100%. We've even set up to a point where everybody who's on our sales team gets a ring when that call comes in, and whoever answers it first gets it.
We do the same thing. So I have three people on my team that through CallRail, it simultaneously rings on all three of their numbers. And then after 20 seconds, if nobody picks up because of, which doesn't happen often. I mean, that's a KPI that we're tracking. We're at about 80% of the time. We have one of our three team members pick it up. We're trying to get to 90%. And then after 20 seconds, if it doesn't, Pat Live is our safety net. You know, we don't want it to get to Pat Live, but in the event that, you know, maybe they're on a call at an appointment, maybe they're in the shower, whatever, you know, we always have kind of Pat Live as our safety net to ensure that somebody is answering the phone live.
Wow, that's really impressive. It's incredible. We actually have three guys taking the call too, and we get 4 out of 5 calls, but we don't have Pat Live. So I appreciate that. I'll make sure we set that up.
Pretty cool. So it sounds like, are you also, so I know you're dialing these people. Are you also mailing them?
We are.
Okay. So you're
mailing. We mail them too. We do see success with mailing. In our market, you have to outmail everyone else. So unless you have a really, really, really high budget, calling is a great option. And just that connection you get individually with homeowners, it's going to make you a better salesperson too. So if somebody's new and they're just getting into this business, I would highly recommend calling first. And here's why. It's not going to break the bank. You can speak to a lot of homeowners. You can get that experience you need talking on the phone, getting comfortable, you know, just being empathetic, hearing them out and closing deals before you spend all that money dropping the mailers. And if you've got that experience from calling, you know, you're making 20, 30, 40 conversations a day for a couple months first before you send out an emailer, you're going to have that confidence that when you do get that good call, you can identify it and you can close it and you can make it happen.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. It's a shortcut too, because when you mail, it's reactive. I mean, you're sending mail out there and you can only connect with the people that call. And, you know, I mean, you and I both know that what are response rates across the board, 0.5%, maybe 1%, maybe some people out there are doing slightly better, but you know, for the most part, if you're calling, if you're just persistent and you're consistent, then you know, you're going to connect with a lot more people if you outbound dial.
Yep, you really will. And you can control your own success. You know, if you know every 20 or 30 contacts you make with a homeowner of a certain data type is going to get you a deal, then you can set that goal. And you can literally, our guys tally each one of their contacts. They know that when they hit this many contacts, they're going to get a deal. And that keeps them motivated because they come in every day with a goal in mind and they know that when they call this many contacts of this data type, they're going to have a deal on average.
I'm just curious. I'm asking not because, you know, I always say like, pay attention to your own numbers because Phil, your KPIs could be completely different from mine. I mean, we're in different parts of the country. You know, you're on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, and there's just a lot of different variables, right? The people you have on your team, the data set that you're calling, there's a lot of moving parts, but just kind of so people get an idea, what are the KPIs as far as like how many dials do your team have to make, you know, typically to get a deal?
So that's a really good question, and it's completely dependent upon the data set. Mm-hmm. So what we've noticed is like one of the favorite data sets of our team here is a notice of default or auction data set foreclosure.
Yep.
So, as many people know across the country. And on this data set, if you're calling the auctions here in California, you have about, it's anywhere between like 21 to 30 days before when they put that letter and that notice before it goes to the courthouse steps. So when you call these people, you can connect with maybe 1 out of 10 that are motivated and they're willing to talk to you. Yeah. They'll take an offer. We just had one we had to close in 6 days before his auction, which was like an 8. Wow. And we got it. We closed it and he drove down, just wanted to look us in the eyes and make sure, you know, we were 100% going to do what we said. And he's like, I'm counting on you guys. This is my future. I need this equity. And we made it happen. And he thanked us and really came back the next day and thanked the whole staff and said we saved everything and so grateful for what we did. So it feels good at the end of the day when you make things like that happen. And
yeah,
it really depends on the list. I mean, if you're calling just, our team sees a lot of success with absentee out-of-state owners, but you've got to call probably 100 of those before you get a motivated one.
Right.
Whereas the auctions, you could probably call 10 or 20 contacts and you're going to talk to somebody who wants to, you know, make something happen right now.
Well, I mean, the auctions, like you said, it's, you have in your particular area, it's 21 days. So those people are highly motivated. There's a pain that needs to be, or a problem that needs to be solved, you know, in a short amount of time.
Exactly.
you know, somebody that's absentee out of state, you know, I mean, it's a numbers game. You're going to have to talk to a lot of people before you get to somebody that has pain or has a problem that you can solve, you know? So,
yeah. And those are really good though. And I want to emphasize that they are good. We are seeing so much success with those absentee out of states. For example, we had a new girl, her first 2.5 hours on the phone. She called one and she connected with this lady who was a couple states over. Mm-hmm. And the lady was literally crying on the phone. She said, you know, my 3 kids live in my house. They're still, I have to evict them. It's tearing us apart. Oh, they want nothing to do with me. They're suing me. She's like, this is so horrible. She's like, could you just give me an offer and have this thing done with? And my sales rep looks at me and goes, is this normal? I go, give her the offer. Yeah. We literally write the offer for her. She goes, that much? She couldn't believe it. So our sales rep learned right then and there that she could have went lower, but it's okay. It was still a good deal for us. And she literally signed the DocuSign in 30 minutes. We had the deal closed 7 days later. And it was a six-figure deal. So there's a lot of potential with those kind of data sets too.
Yeah.
Dude, and even though you got to call more.
I'm listening to that little mini case study. Don't you wish it could be all so easy, man? Because somebody, I guarantee you, brother, there's somebody listening to this podcast right now that is getting started in this business. And maybe like that's their frame of reference now. And who knows? That could be a positive thing. You go in expecting that all your deals are going to be easy. You know, maybe you get what you expect, but I can tell you that, you know, not every deal is a six-figure deal and goes as smooth where you just connect with someone. There's so much pain that, you know, they're taking an offer in 30 minutes, you know?
Oh no, you've got to hit several hundred contacts before you see something that good. But it was great because she was brand new and she got to see that, and she's been wildly successful since because she knows that it does occur. And we actually saved that call and we let everybody new listen to it. And she tells everybody, you know, it happened. It's there. And this is what can happen for you. If you work hard and you reach out to these people.
Wow, very cool. So let me ask you this before we kind of pivot into in a different direction. How are you guys getting the phone numbers?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. That is so important. We've noticed the most important thing is the data you're going after. So average data is not going to connect with these people. You're going to be calling this average data, which I'd say most people in the San Diego market are, mm-hmm. and they're just not seeing the same success. You know, they can get discouraged easily. So for those of you that are new and I don't know if you want to go through all the work it takes to get access to like NexusLexis or TLO or a lot of these more advanced skip trace systems. I would recommend one called LandVoice. It's
LandVoice.com?
LandVoice. Yeah, LandVoice.
Okay.
It's very accurate out here in California. And it's, you can get immediate access. You don't have to go through a whole entire process from, you know, being background checked to having a corporation to having a physical location, like a lot of these skip traces make you go through, and they still deny you. LandVoice will give it to you day one. You just request their custom pulls. And if you order a decent amount, you can actually negotiate them down to a much lower rate than what they'll initially quote you. Hmm. So you can get about 50% of what they quote you, just so you know, and your listeners know. Just negotiate. Don't take the 50 cents they're going to tell you. You can get them to half that at least.
Okay.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, I'm actually on your site right now, landvoice.com. Interesting. This is another one. I appreciate you sharing these resources and tools. I mean, these are a few that I don't even know about, which is awesome. So the first one, guys, that he mentioned was agentpro247.com. And then now this one, LandVoice. And we'll make sure to include these links and resources in the show notes page for you guys. Very cool. Cause I think you touched on something. You know, for those of you that don't know, going to the TLOs of the world and LexisNexis, they're great. The data is fantastic, but you have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to even get approved for an account. You know, and so this could be, you know, a really good alternative that obviously has worked well for Phil and his brothers out in San Diego. So, do you know?
Yeah, I think they pulled their data from LexisNexis.
Okay.
I don't know if it's changed since, but last time I checked in with them a while ago, I had heard that was one of their sources. So
got it. I'm actually on their site and I see that, you know, it looks like they have FSBOs, expireds, and pre-4.
They do.
Yeah. Do you guys hit those or?
So we also we're actually originally real estate agents, realtors, and we were big on the Mike Ferry cold calling system. Mm-hmm. And that's where we learned to call. And we learned to calling expireds, FSBOs, just listed, just sold, foreclosures, all that kind of data sets. And LandVoice was the data company we used to start off. So we kind of got lucky. That happened for us.
Very cool, man. No, again, thanks for sharing this. Let me ask you, before we kind of move on, because you touched on, Mike Ferry's cold calling system. Any tips for people that, either have a fear of picking up the phone and calling a stranger, or even if people don't have a fear, like, how can people be more efficient when they cold call? Obviously cold calling, the person on the other end doesn't know who you are. It could be intimidating for some people, and some people that, maybe they're just not as effective as you guys. You guys have been through a lot of training. Any quick tips or advice that you have for people when it comes to cold calling?
The first thing I would say is find a partner or an accountability partner, someone to either do it with or someone else that's interested in it in the business. And it really, really helps. We've noticed people are 2 to 3 times as likely to do it if they're doing it with somebody else. They can kind of laugh off, someone either being mean to you or treating you in a certain way, and you laugh it off together and you keep going. It's a lot more motivating than doing it by yourself at home in a dark room. Our guys here, they're standing when they talk on the phone. They don't sit down. It gives them more energy. They feel better. It's kind of like a little call center environment where they're all chatting, so their energy's up. But if you don't have that, I would watch videos. There's lots of great guys online like Colton Lindsay. He's got a lot of fantastic videos that'll walk you through how to talk to individuals. Kevin Ward's another good guy online. He's got a lot of YouTube videos that'll walk you through exactly how to talk to these people, how to overcome objections. I mean, you can hear live calls. You can hear the things he says. And when you hear that, and that helps a lot, saying, oh, okay, that's what I say when they tell me this. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff, just videos and a coach, anything like that, depending on your budget, you can get YouTube videos for free. It really helps. And we have our new guys actually listen to a whole series of those videos before we even let them call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Role playing is critical. Another resource, I've had John Martinez, I've had him on the show a couple different times. He's got some great training when it comes to cold calling. There's no shortage of valuable information and content out there. You just got to commit to mastery, and I think, Phil, your suggestion is awesome, man. I mean, it starts with just dedicating the time to role play with somebody, have an accountability partner, and fail forward. You're going to screw up if you're first getting started. You might be nervous. It is what it is. Get over it. It's something you have to overcome. And then eventually you can get to a point where, you can hire people to do this kind of stuff for you. But got it, man. No, that's super helpful. What does your team look like today?
Today we have 25 people here. In the office.
Man, you guys got a big team.
We've grown. Yeah. We have. Most of them are sales and acquisitions, and they're also agents.
Okay.
So there's a lot of salespeople here.
Okay. Talk to us about building a team, because from my perspective anyways, like that's a pretty big team. There's a lot of moving parts there. You got your marketing department, acquisitions, dispositions, your transaction coordinator, you have agents. Talk to me about what it takes to kind of grow and scale to that point. Like, at what point was that tipping point where you guys really started to grow and bring on that many people?
It came down to when we had too many deals and I realized that I shouldn't be doing admin work. I could hire someone at, $25 an hour to do that work instead. And it kind of just went on down from there. After a while, I realized I shouldn't be the project manager. Somebody else should be doing that.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be negotiating with these contractors. I should have an accountant handling all the financial stuff. And pretty soon then you get to the top and you realize that, the highest value is making sure that business runs smoothly and you're generating deals.
Yep. Has it been, because I don't know about you, man, but like I've had my challenges, especially when I first started building a team, I had my challenges. I would be quick to hire and slow to fire, right? And then we just had a couple episodes again, I had Mark Evans DM. He talked about, his mindset is hire fast, fire fast. What's kind of been, can you talk about like some of the lessons learned or some of the challenges you guys have had when it comes to hiring, building a team?
Yeah. It's very tough. And anyone who's starting off, I just want them to know you're going to make mistakes. I made so many mistakes on hiring. But the truth is you should fire fast. If someone's not working out, it's very rare they're going to change their attitude or their mindset or perhaps that position, wasn't the best fit for them. And the key is to learn from it. We now do multiple personality tests. We have multiple interviews. They have to pass a whole series of interviews with different people in the firm, pass multiple personalities. We know that they're either going to be a salesperson, like the DISC exam, for example, the DISC. Are you familiar with that, Alex? I'm sure you are.
I am. Yeah. So I don't know about you. Like, so when it's a, so I have my people take the Colby and I'm, you know, like for a sales role, I typically look for a high quick start. If I have them take DISC, I typically look for a high D and a high I. But, what's your thoughts on, you know, the personality test and what do you look for the different positions?
So for sales, yeah, we've noticed the DIs, we call them hunters. That's our ideal hire for sales. Mm-hmm. Just because those characteristics are probably the best fit. We also have them run a Myers-Briggs because there's a 5 personalities in the Myers-Briggs that are best suited for sales too. And we've realized that, the DISC can sometimes miss a little bit. I mean, when you have both those combined, it really makes it a lot more specific.
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
I'm sorry to joke, because I may have missed that. With Myers-Briggs, what for salespeople, what exactly are you looking for?
There's 5 personalities. Like, I'm one of the ones that actually sells. I'm an ENTJ.
Okay.
I'm one of the 5 that are, you know, really well suited for sales. Mm-hmm. So make sure not only do they hit DI or pretty high on D and pretty high on I, they also fit within that Myers-Briggs sales personality. And you could Google those 5, or I could get them to you later.
Yeah.
The 24 personalities for the Myers-Briggs that fit
okay. The
sales role. And we've noticed that's a little bit more accurate because sometimes we've had on the DISC alone people that don't work out for several different reasons, and we've kind of narrowed it down to where both those personality tests
give
us a better hire. And then on the other end, if we're going for a more analytical, like an accountant or a more detail-oriented position, a high C is just essential. You know, they can be a lot more accurate. They're going to do a much better job with those fine details. Mm-hmm. Whereas the DI, you know, they're not going to look at those fine details like a high C on that DISC exam will.
Yeah, got it. What's your what's your hiring process like? Can you kind of, from a 30,000 foot view, I mean, we don't have to get into the weeds, but like what does your hiring process look like? I mean, obviously, you know, you talked about the personality test that you have them take, and that's also been a big part of our hiring process. I'm just curious, you typically, I'm guessing you start with an ad, or do you go directly to your network, your network's network? So you could just kind of walk us through what your hiring process looks like.
Yeah, we actually do both. So we're on every major site online, from Indeed to Monster to Jobs, Yahoo. I mean, every single one of them we're on. And they all generate leads, Craigslist too. We also reach out to our existing network once a week. From every employee gets a bonus if they refer somebody in to every friend or family or just anyone in our network.
I
we probably
that.
Get about half of our hires from our existing network. And those are actually our best people.
Yep.
The best people we get are from our network.
Man, I am so glad you said that. That's been my exact example as well. The best, I think of the best team members I've had over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, they've all been through my network or my network's network or a referral, you know, just every single one of them.
Yep. Yep. And the retention is just 10 times too. Most of them, I think 90% of them are still here. No, we definitely treat them well. We definitely pay above the industry standard, but they're highly valuable to our firm. So we make sure that we retain them.
Got it. What do you bonus your team when they recommend the team member that you guys bring on board?
Well, out here in California, I mean, obviously living expenses and stuff are a little bit more. So we pay $3,000.
Okay.
As a referral. And if we just look at what we're spending online a month out here for what it costs to compete against a lot of these big companies,
yeah,
it makes sense for us.
That's awesome, man. No, and $3,000, man, I don't care where you live. I mean, for most people, that's a pretty good incentive, you know, just to refer someone.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they care about the person doing a good job, obviously, and you know, making them look good. So they recommend good people.
Yeah. And what I find is that if they're already on your team, they fit your culture, or they at least they should fit your culture. They're in alignment with your core values, your purpose. And people hang around a lot. Oftentimes people hang around people that are kind of like them. You know what I mean? And so if they're already a natural fit for your culture, your purpose, et cetera, your core values, then it stands to reason that there may be more people that are also in alignment with those core values that, you know, I'm sure for you guys, it's just as important. I mean, like for us, that's one of the first questions we ask before we even get to the skill set, personality type. It's, are they a fit culturally? Do they fit our core values? If the answer is no to either of those, it's a pass regardless of what else they have.
Wow. I'm so glad you touched that, Alex. We have turned down so many superstar salespeople that I knew without a doubt would walk on day one and just destroy it on the phone. But the attitude, the energy, you know, their mindset just wouldn't have been a right fit for us culturally. And that's more important. Culture is the single most important thing to us. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't have someone come in that has that kind of attitude. You know, everyone on our team has an abundance mentality. From literally, if someone new shows up, I'll have a couple of my guys literally take an hour out of their day and help them out if they hear them saying the wrong thing, just because they want to see them succeed too.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of culture we have here at the organization. And we do everything we can to protect that because it's our gem. I mean, that's our core competency.
That's huge, man. That's huge. And the other thing that I think I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you guys, you never stop hiring. Do you, like, in other words, do you have ads that are constantly out there trying to attract talent?
Always.
Okay.
The ads never come down.
I love that you said that. And let me tell you, man, that's been something that I need to, I've gotten away from that. I used to have an ad on ZipRecruiter that was just always up there. And then I just didn't renew. And I've even in the past, about a year and a half ago, I created a podcast episode that was ABH, always look for talent or always be hiring. I think is ABH was the title of that podcast. And I love that you said that. That's something that honestly, I got to call myself out on that. I have to get back to. You always want to have, you know, just like you have lines in the water looking for motivated sellers that you can help, you always want to have ads out there that can attract the right talent, because especially if you're in a competitive marketplace, there's companies that are always looking for talent. And, you know, most people, it can't just be about a paycheck. They have to align with, like we just talked about, the core values and your purpose. And they don't know that you're out there unless you have ads that are attracting talent, even if you're not necessarily hiring at the moment.
Yep, 100%. We've realized that the value of a 1% hire is just one of the single most important things about the business. So if somebody comes up like that, even if we're not currently looking for a position, we'll do something. To a point where I've literally had two just all-star hires that I actually recommended to friends here, and they hired them and said, so there's always a spot for somebody good.
Yeah.
And we've built that kind of mindset. You know, originally I used to turn it off too when I was handling all of it, which I want to go back and finish our hiring process. We now have a process where the two or three admins that we have in our marketing team, they actually filter through the people. And they put a lot of effort into it, and they really care, because they don't want someone who doesn't reflect, you know, the same core values that they have and the culture that our company has. Mm-hmm. So they filter through quite a few different resumes. They send 5 or 6 questions or an exam based on the position. Then they have a phone screen. And then they ask for them to complete these 2 different personality assessments.
Right.
And I can't tell you, probably 1 out of 100 people actually make it through those 3 things.
Oh, yeah.
Then it gets to one of our mid-level managers. And I might get only 1 or 2 people across my desk every month. So it's easy for me to keep it going now, because I only see the best of the best.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think they're...
Yeah, no, you know that when they get to your desk, like, they've been vetted, they've gone through a process, and it's worth your time and attention.
Exactly. And if I see this the slightest thing I don't like, I won't take them. I'll wait another month until we find that right hire, and I'm okay with it because I know our process will bring it.
Yeah. Dude, that's fantastic, man. I love it. This has been highly valuable, man. Really appreciate the time, Phil. Brother, anything else before we start to kind of wrap up here? Anything else you want to add as it relates to, it could be anything, you know, marketing, so lead gen, lead conversion, acquisitions, hiring, scaling, building a team, anything that we haven't touched on that you kind of want to leave us with?
Yeah, one last thing. And I think it's probably the number one thing we encounter here when we hire new people, and a lot of you guys out there listening probably encounter the same thing. I know I did when I first started. You're gung-ho. You're going to do everything we said. You're going to jump on that phone and make some calls. And then the first couple of weeks, it's going to be tough. You know, statistically, you're not going to find a deal. So just know you're not doing anything wrong. There's just a learning curve. Mm-hmm. You know, many guys on our team, I've told them, you're good enough. I know you're going to succeed. The only reason you won't succeed is because you give up.
Yeah.
So the key is just don't give up. Just keep doing the right things. Keep working hard. And it's hard before it's easy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that, though, when you learn and you get through the tough times, it's really rewarding. And the lifestyle is, it's just such a blessing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main thing, if your listeners take away anything, is just don't give up. You'll succeed if you never give up.
I love it, man. I don't even want to add anything else to that. I think that was very well said. And I co-sign on that 100%. So, dude, this has been really, really awesome. I'm glad you hopped on, man. I appreciate the time. Where can people reach out to you, connect, maybe even possibly, do some deals? I know you're out in San Diego. So, what do you got going on, and where can people just get in contact with you guys?
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll shoot over the best email address to you, and I'll put up our site. We have actually a brand new site that I think it's finished as of this week. So I'll get you that link so you can put it up on the show notes.
Okay,
and great. Anyone who wants can, I'll even leave it an email. So they can personally email me and reach out, and I'd love to help anyone any way I can. Yeah.
That sounds good, man. Like you said at the top of the show, you guys are in a highly, highly competitive market, and you just came off a 2021 deal month, which is huge in any market, much less, one of the hottest ones in the country. So you guys are crushing, man. I look forward to connecting with you here, shortly. And again, brother, I thank you. And guys, reach out. Let me know your thoughts on this. I mean, we talked about, are you hitting divorce? Are you hitting tax liens? Some of the other lists that we talked about. Go out. Remember, the harder it is to get your hands in that list, chances are the better it's going to be. And it's going to have less competition, because do what most people aren't willing to do. You're going to get what most people don't have. So I'll leave you guys with that. Phil, I know we'll be in contact, man. And I appreciate everything, man. We'll be in contact. Take care.
Thank you, Alex. Yes, have a good day.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.